on a Monday. Good to have you here. Thanksgiving right around the corner. I hope your family and you enjoy the holiday, that's for sure. All right, my next guest, Lathan Watts, First Liberty's Director of Legal Communication. In the age of Me Too and Harvey Weinstein and all the rest, it's hard to conceive that any school district would require teenage girls to meditate to a song normalizing sexting. But that's apparently what's happened. Lathan, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Tell us the story so we can get on board.
So we are representing a family in Steamboat Springs, Colorado, a ninth grade girl, so we're, you know, about 15 years old. Part of their English class was assigned a reading of material that if I were to say, for example, read some of it to you on the air right now, you would get a letter from the FCC for violating certain standards. And not only were they, you know, assigned this reading, the text that they used actually had some of the worse language removed, and the teacher then required them to basically fill in the blank and write in the most egregious stuff. And, you know, their parents obviously were very concerned when their daughter told them about this, and as they should be, because they should have been notified at very least and given the option to opt out their student from this kind of nonsense, and they weren't. So we're now representing that family and in contact with the school district to see if we can't get this.
So what would be the mindset? What
doesn't happen again?
Yeah, what is going on in schools that this is not unusual? I'm seeing these sorts of publications and books, and it's the sexualizing of everything is kind of what concerns me in the public schools, and I mean from an early age right on through high school. And you're probably, you know, exactly what I'm talking about. Everything has to be sexualized. It's about this sort of thing that you're discussing, or it's deciding what gender you're in first grade, or all of this nonsense. Why this push to sexualize everything?
It's a very good question, but you're exactly right that it is something that we're seeing at all grade levels, whether, as you said, it's talking about sexuality and gender issues at a very early age, or these, you know, ridiculous drag queen story hours at public libraries.
Right.
You know, if there's one thing that people of all faiths or no faith or, you know, any point along the political spectrum ought to be able to agree on, is that the sexualization of children is wrong. Parents should be the people who are having conversations with their children about issues around gender or sexuality, and at what age that parent feels it's appropriate to talk to their child about it. You know, some kids, you know, are mature faster. Some kids are, you know, at a different intellectual level. That's why.
But here's the thing. You know this. You know this, Lathan, and that is that a lot of these educators think that they're better equipped. They know better. They know what's best for your kids. They know what's best for everything because they're smarter than you are. I mean, I think that's the takeaway. At least that's the impression I get sometimes. Your thought?
I don't think that's a mischaracterization of some people's ideas. I mean, and it's not just some teachers. I believe, you know, some school boards, some elected officials, certainly, based on comments that some people have made, don't trust parents to raise their kids. You know, it takes a village to do that, as one famous politician once said. So, really what this comes down to is who is in charge of raising children in our society. And for a very long time, it was sort of common knowledge, common sense, that children should be raised by their parents. And we've gotten away from that. You can trace a lot of things back to when we started fixing education in the 1960s. But it's a trend that needs to be reversed for sure. And people like our clients and others who adhere to, you know, their faith and want to raise their children with very strong morals and ideas when it comes to issues of sexuality, gender, whatever it may be, and they have a right to do that.
Yeah, you know, but I look at and for anybody who's wondering how direct the language is here, it's everything George Carlin said and more, I think is a fair way to put it, as far as the verbiage here. And I don't know how you advance education by using words that many would consider to be lazy. You know, the F-bomb, for example, is a word that a lot of people resort to because it's lazy and an easy go-to. If you're failing on an argument, you throw that word out there a fair amount. I can be guilty of it on occasion. But you don't use this kind of terminology in discussing sexuality with young kids. At least I think it's completely inappropriate. It's too far afield. And I don't think it belongs in the classroom because some people don't need to be exposed to that. And for some, you would wonder if it had the kind of effect on them to create a real negative atmosphere going forward.
That's exactly right. And as I said a little bit earlier, you know, children develop at a different pace. Some are more emotionally mature than others, and that's why it should be the parents' decision on whether or not and when to talk about certain issues. And we don't need the schools doing that for us. We don't need the government raising our children. And that's really what is at the heart of this. The parents in this specific situation should have at the very least.
But we hear more of it,
so they could opt out of it.
We hear more of this all the time. Lathan Watts here, the First Liberty's Director of Legal Communication. And Lathan, I guess we hear this more and more frequently because, in fact, I've got a book I'm going to share next week here on the program, a children's book about sexuality for kindergartners. Cartoon pictures and, you know, am I a boy? Am I a girl? Am I both? Am I neither? It's like, it's for kindergartners, this book is designed. And I just say to myself, why does a five-year-old need to concern themselves? Why can't kids just be kids? I mean, honestly, why does it all happen? And that brings me back to this whole point of anger for me about sexualizing everything for little kids. Enough is enough. I'll give you the last word.
Well, I certainly agree with you there. And people need to know that they do have rights concerning their children in schools, and their children, students and teachers also do not shed their First Amendment religious liberty protection just by walking into the door of a public school. So if you are dealing with something like this and you need help, you should contact us at firstliberty.org. We'd be happy to look into it.
All right, Lathan Watts, greatly appreciate it. Firstliberty.org, if you have a question or a comment or if you have a concern. I appreciate you stopping in. Have a great Monday and a good Thanksgiving.
All right. Same to you, sir.
There you have it. All right. So, I mean, to me, honestly, I mean, you look at the content and the context of the books that are being distributed. And I'm going to share this book with you from a public school here in Michigan. Showed up in the reading materials. Not requested by the teacher, by the way. Not requested by the teacher. Shows up in a box of books for kindergartners. And here's this book about sexuality, about transgenderism, and I could be a boy, I could be a girl, I could be both, I could be neither, I could be both in one day, I could be both in one hour. I mean, the insanity of it is mind-bending. It's the Steve Gruber Show on a Monday, back after this.
You've seen the headlines. Clean water has never been more important than it is today. It's time to give yourself and your family the best home water you can. Wolverine Water is Michigan's premier manufacturer of whole home water systems and has been since 1947. Wolverine serves homeowners statewide, and they're ready to test your water for free. With everything you've heard, you need peace of mind. You need Wolverine Water in your free water test. Go to stevegruber.com and click on the Wolverine Water logo. That's stevegruber.com and click on the Wolverine Water logo.
You never want to make that call to the insurance company. I know I don't, but when you have to, you have to. I'm Steve Gruber, and that's why I trust Mauer Foster Insurance. Just recently, I had to make that call. My truck got banged up, and it needed some work. I called Mauer Foster for answers. What a relief to deal with a team of professionals that knew exactly what I needed. It took one phone call, my repairs were in motion, and now I'm back on the road. So when anyone asks me, who do I trust for insurance? That's easy. Mauer Foster Insurance. in Lansing.
Elected officials in Michigan broke their promise for a transparent, balanced process when it came to reforming auto insurance. They passed a bill in the middle of the night which had no public hearings and no fiscal analysis. Worse yet, it created many new problems while failing to address the real issues. Insurance companies can still discriminate. Rehab, therapy, and other providers may be forced to close. And there will certainly be more lawsuits. Tell your elected officials they need to fix this. Learn more at miautoinsurancepromise.com.
I'm a counselor for the Michigan Problem Gambling Helpline. People don't want to call us. They're ashamed, and they don't think they can be helped. I have years of experience as a counselor, and real-life experience, too. I was a gambler once myself, so nothing you say can shock me. It's my job to help you, so call me.
Call 1-800-270-7117 for help. Sponsored by the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services and the Michigan Association of Broadcasters.